I don't stop. Christian, she pleads, and I know I'm driving her crazy. Shall I make you come this way? I blow on her nipple. You know I can. I take it in my mouth, sucking, hard. She cries out, a guttural cry of pleasure. And I'm fully aroused, straining to be inside her.
Yes,
she whimpers. Oh, baby, that would be too easy.
Oh, please.
Hush. My teeth graze her chin. Then I capture her mouth with mine, thrusting my tongue between her lips to meet hers. She tastes of Anna and fresh gin and tonic with a hint of lemon. Delicious. But she's greedy, kissing me back, wanting more and more. Fuck, she tastes so good. She gives as good as she takes, her head lifting off the sheets. Oh, baby. I release her lips and grasp her chin. Still, baby. I want you still, I whisper.
I want to see you.
She breathes, desperate and needy. Oh no, Anna. You'll feel more this way. I ease my hips forward, knowing we're lined up, and ease my way inside her just a little. She can't move. And I ease back, teasing her.
Ah, Christian, please.
Again? I ask, and I don't recognize my own voice.
Christian.
I push myself into her again, a little farther this time, but pull back and let my fingers tease her right nipple.
No.
She wails in disappointment. She does not want me to withdraw. Do you want me, Anastasia?
Yes!
She cries. Tell me. My voice is hoarse. I need to hear her say it, and I tease her with my cock once more. In, out.
I want you.
She whimpers.
Please.
I love it when she begs. And have me you will, Anastasia. I slam into her, and she screams, pulling against the cuffs. I know she's helpless, and I take full advantage, stilling, feeling her around me, then circling my hips. She groans. Why do you defy me, Anna?
Christian, stop!
It's not the safe word. I circle my hips once more, deep, deep inside her, then pull out and slam into her once more. Don't come, I will myself. Tell me, why? I need to know. She cries out, and her pleasure is my pleasure. Tell me, I plead.
Christian!
Anna, I need to know. I thrust into her once more. Tell me, please.
I don't know,
she wails.
Because I can, because I love you, please, Christian.
I groan loudly and finally let myself love her, cocooning her head beneath my hands as I claim her, and pleasure myself. She's fighting against the cuffs, gasping, keening, building beneath me. She's close. I feel it. She cries out. That's it. I grind out between gritted teeth. Feel it, baby. Anna screams as she comes, and comes, and comes, shattering beneath me, her head back, her mouth open, her face screwed up. I kneel up, taking her with me, pulling her into my lap, riding out her climax, holding her tightly, burying my head against her neck as I let go. Fuck! My orgasm is relentless. When I'm finally spent, I rip off her blindfold and kiss my wife. Her eyelids, her nose, her cheeks. Thank you, Anna. She's crying. I kiss the tracks of her tears while I cup her face. I love you, Mrs. Gray, I whisper. Even though you make me so mad, I feel so alive with you. She's exhausted, listless in my arms. So I lay her down on the bed and ease out of her.
No.
She mumbles, feeling the loss of contact, I think. Oh, baby, you're so done. From the nightstand, I grab the key and release her from each of the cuffs, rubbing her wrists and ankles as I do. I lay down beside her as she stretches out her legs and wrap her in my arms. She sighs, a small, satisfied smile on her lips, and her breathing slows. She's gone to sleep. I kiss her hair and cover us both. Boy, that was intense for me, too. Anna, what you do to me. I wake 15 minutes later from my doze. Anna is still in my arms, sleeping soundly. I kiss her forehead, untangle myself from her limbs, and get up to use the bathroom. She's still out for the count when I return from my shower. I dress quickly, unlock the cabin door, and head up on deck to find the captain to discuss staying on board this evening. She's still asleep when I return. I put away the cuffs and grab my laptop to check through my emails, and also check on the brownfield sites in Detroit, just to make sure that I made the correct call with Roz earlier. On deck and around the boat, the crew ready the fair lady. I hear the loud clanking of the anchor as it's winched on board, and the distant rumble of the engines as they're fired up. We're setting sail. Dusk has been and gone, and it's dark outside when Anna stirs. "Hi," I murmur, eager to see her. "I've missed you while you were sleeping."
"Hi."
Her voice is hesitant, and she pulls the cover up to her chin. Has she gone all shy on me?
"How long have I been asleep?"
she asks. "Just an hour or so."
"We're moving?"
I figured since we ate out last night and went to the ballet and the casino that we'd dine on board tonight. A quiet night, à deux. She grins, relieved, I think, to be spending the evening on board.
"Where are we going?"
"Cannes."
"Okay."
She stretches out beside me, then gets up, grabs her robe, and slips it on. Shit. She has a few love bites. It's what I planned, but now, seeing the purple blotches on her skin, I'm not so sure it was a good idea. This could go either way. She ambles into the ensuite bathroom and closes the door. Hours, minutes, seconds. I don't know how long she's in there, but it takes forever. Eventually, she appears, but deliberately, it seems. She avoids eye contact with me as she darts into the closet. This does not look good. Maybe she's just tired. I wait, again. She's in there for too long. I can't bear it. "Anastasia, are you okay?" No answer. Damn. Suddenly, she bursts out of the closet, a blur of arms and hair, and hurls a hairbrush at me. Shit. I raise my arm in time to protect my head, and the hairbrush smacks me below my wrist. Anna storms out of the room and slams the cabin door. Fuck. She's not impressed. I don't think I've ever seen her this mad. Not even over the vows when she threatened to cancel the wedding. Gray, what have you done? My good humor evaporates, replaced by an anxiety I've not felt since before we got married. Warily, I get up, dump my laptop on the nightstand, and go in search of my furious wife. She's leaning on the rail at the bow, staring at the distant shore. It's a beautiful evening, and the fair lady, like the queen of the seas that she is, coasts effortlessly over the Mediterranean. Anna looks desolate. It's chastening. "You're mad at me," I whisper.
"No shit, Sherlock,"
she hisses, but she doesn't turn to look at me. "How mad?"
"Scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm at a 50. Apt, huh?"
"Wow. That mad?"
"Yes, pushed to violence, mad."
She seethes. Finally, she looks at me, her expression raw and angry, and I know she sees me for who I am. "You are one fucked up son of a bitch." Her recrimination from months ago echoes in my head. Hell, it's been weeks since I've felt as shitty as this. Flynn's words float back to me. Communicate and compromise. Anna takes a deep breath and stands taller, squaring her shoulders. Christian, you have to stop unilaterally trying to bring me to heel. You made your point on the beach, very effectively, as I recall. Well, you won't take your top off again. I grunt, and even to my own ears, I sound like a petulant teen. She glares at me.
I don't like you leaving marks on me. Well, not this many, anyway. It's a hard limit.
She spits at me like a cornered kitten. I don't like you taking your clothes off in public. That's a hard limit for me. I counter. I warned you, Anna.
I think we've established that,
she continues in the same vein.
Look at me.
She tugs down her top, exposing the love bites I've left on her. I count six. I didn't know my plan would be quite so effective, but I don't want to fight. I raise my hands, palms up, and surrender. Okay, I get it. Maybe I overreacted.
Good,
she snaps. I run my hand through my hair, feeling helpless. I'm lost. What more can I do? I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me. I don't want to fight, Anna, please.
You are such an adolescent sometimes.
Anna shakes her head, but she sounds more resigned than forthright. I take a step forward and tuck a loose tendril behind her ear. I know. I have a lot to learn.
We both do.
She sighs and slowly raises her hand and places it over my heart. Anna. I place my hand over hers and give her an apologetic smile. I've just learned that you've got a good arm and good aim, Mrs. Gray. I would never have figured that, but then I constantly underestimate you. You always surprise me. Her lips form a half smile and she arches a brow.
Target practice with Ray. I can throw and shoot straight, Mr. Gray, and you'd do well to remember that.
I will endeavor to do that or ensure that all potential projectile objects are nailed down and that you don't have access to a gun. She narrows her eyes.
I'm resourceful.
Oh, Anna, I don't doubt it. That you are, I whisper, and releasing her hand, I fold her into my arms. Her hands move over my back and she returns my embrace. I plant my nose in her hair, inhaling her soothing scent. Am I forgiven? I ask, quietly.
Am I?
Yes, I respond.
Ditto.
We stand at the bow, the French Riviera passing us by, and we just are. For a moment, it's the best feeling in the world. Hungry? I ask.
Yes, famished. All the, activity has given me an appetite. But I'm not dressed for dinner.
You look good to me, Anastasia. Besides, it's our boat for the week. We can dress how we like. Think of it as a dress-down Tuesday on the Côte d'Azur. Anyway, I thought we'd eat on deck.
Yes, I'd like that.
I reach under her chin and raise her lips to mine and kiss her. Slowly, gently. Forgive me, Anna. She smiles, and together we walk hand in hand back to where our dinner awaits.
Why do you always braid my hair?
Anna asks as I'm about to tuck into my creme brulee. I frown, because the answer's obvious. I don't want your hair catching in anything. I've always done it. Hair and toys don't mix. Habit, I think, I add. And from nowhere, a vision of a young woman singing an 80s pop song as she brushes out her long dark hair comes to mind. She turns and smiles at me, the dust motes circling in the air around her.
Hey, maggot, do you want to brush my hair?
And I'm back in a godforsaken slum in Detroit, a lifetime ago. Anna caresses my chin and runs a finger across my lips, bringing me back to the fair lady. Why is the crack whore haunting me now?
It doesn't matter,
Anna whispers.
I don't need to know. I was just curious.
She smiles and leans forward to kiss the corner of my lips.
I love you,
she whispers.
I'll always love you, Christian.
And I you. I'm thankful that she's here to drag me back from the dark abyss of my early childhood.
in spite of my disobedience?
She smirks, immediately lightening the mood. I chuckle, feeling better. Because of your disobedience, Anastasia. She bashes the caramelized sugar of her dessert with her spoon and scoops up a mouthful, and all thoughts of the crack whore fade. Once Rebecca has cleared our plates, I offer Anna more rosé. She looks past me to check we're alone, then leans toward me with a conspiratorial air.
What's with the no going to the bathroom thing?
She asks. Always curious. You really want to know?
Do I?
I smile. The fuller your bladder, the more intense your orgasm, Anna.
Oh, I see.
A sweet blush colors her cheeks, and I know she's embarrassed. Don't be, baby.
Yes, well.
She takes a swift gulp of wine. What do you want to do for the rest of the evening? I ask, to move us on to a more comfortable topic. She raises her right shoulder in a shrug, a suggestive shrug, I think. Again, Anna? And I know I could make up for my transgression in bed, but I want more. I know what I want to do. I pick up my glass of wine and stand, holding out my hand to her. Come. We move to the main salon and I guide her to the dresser, where my iPod is plugged into an impressive speaker. I select a song, something sweet and romantic for my girl. Dance with me, I ask, and sweep her into my arms.
If you insist.
I insist, Mrs. Gray. Michael Bublé is singing the Lou Rawls classic You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine. We start to move, Anna following my lead. I dip her low and she giggles. I right her, then spin her around beneath my arm. She laughs.
You dance so well.
Her voice is a little husky.
It's like I can dance.
I love dancing with you, baby. Elena flits, unwelcome, into my mind, and while I'm grateful to her for teaching me to dance, I'm not happy that she's in my head. Don't go there, Gray. She's history. Let's just enjoy this. I dip Anna again, then kiss her when she's upright once more.
I'd miss your love,
she whispers, echoing the lyrics. I'd more than miss your love. I respond and sing the next few lines softly in her ear. The song fades and we stop moving and just gaze at each other. I watch as her pupils grow larger and darker. It's magic, our special alchemy bubbling between us. Come to bed with me, I beg her. Her coy smile brightens her face and she places her hand on my heart. Beneath my chest, it starts hammering with my love for her, my wife, a beautiful woman who knows how to forgive me. Wednesday, August 17th, 2011.
Mommy is pretty today. She laughs as she sits on her bed. It is sunny and lots of little dots float in the air around her like she's a princess. Hey, maggot, brush my hair. I pull the brush through her long hair. It is hard for me because of tangles, but Mommy likes it. She sings.
What's love got to do with it?
She smiles her special smile. It is her smile for me, only me. She shakes her hair so it is silky down her back. I stroke it. It smells of clean. She splits it into three snakes, and then she ties them together to make one bumpy snake. There. It's out of the way, maggot. She picks up her hairbrush, and she brushes my hair. No! Mommy, it hurts. Too many tangles.
Don't fight, maggot.
No! Mommy! I try to make her stop. There is a loud noise. A crash. He's back. No.
Where the fuck are you, bitch? Got a friend here. A friend with dough.
Mommy stands and takes my hand and pushes me into her closet. I sit on her shoes. I am quiet, like a mouse. I cover my ears and close my eyes. If I am small, he won't see me. The clothes smell of Mommy. I like the smell. I like being here. Away from him. He is shouting.
Where is the little fucking runt?
He has my hair and he pulls me out of the closet. He waves the hairbrush at Mommy.
Don't want this little prick spoiling the party.
He slaps Mommy hard on her face with her hairbrush.
Put your fucking hooker heels on and make it good for my friend. Then you get your fix, bitch.
Mommy looks at me and she has tears. Don't cry, Mommy. Another man comes into the room. A big man with dirty coveralls, blue coveralls. The big man smiles at Mommy. I am pulled into the other room. He pushes me onto the floor and I hurt my knees. He waves the hairbrush at me.
Now what am I going to do with you, you piece of shit?
He smells bad. He smells of beer, and he is smoking a cigarette.
I wake suddenly, fear clawing at my throat.
Where am I?
Gasping, I suck precious air into my lungs and try to steady my racing heart. It takes me a moment to orient myself. I'm on the fair lady, with my fair lady. I look frantically to my right, and Anna is fast asleep in the shadows beside me. Thank heavens. I'm immediately calmed just by the sight of her. I take a deep cleansing breath. Why am I having nightmares? Arguing with Anna? I hate fighting with her. Judging by the light that's seeping through the curtains over the portholes, it's early dawn. I should sleep some more. I cuddle up to Anna and put my arm around her, breathing in her unique, calming fragrance. And I drift. It's much lighter in the cabin when I wake later, with Anna still slumbering beside me. I watch her for a few moments, enjoying this quiet time. Will she ever really know what she means to me? I kiss her hair, get up, and slip on a pair of swim trunks. I'm going for a swim around the boat. Maybe I can shake the unease that lingers. As I shave, I'm still rattled by my nightmare. Why? I don't get it. I've had these dreams before. Why am I so hung up on this one, now? The bathroom door opens and Anna stands before me, a ray of light, and I mute my dark thoughts. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. I welcome her with a cheery smile.
Good morning yourself.
She grins and leans against the wall, raising her chin, imitating me as I shave under my jaw. From the corner of my eye, I watch her as she mimics my actions. Enjoying the show? I ask.
One of my all-time favorites.
She's forgiven me. I lean over and kiss her, grateful that she's with me, and leave a small smudge of shaving foam on her face. Shall I do this to you again? I whisper, brandishing my razor, recalling the moment when I shaved her in our suite at Brown's Hotel. Anna purses her lips.
No, I'll wax next time.
But that was fun. You beguiled me, Anna.
For you, maybe.
She pouts, but there's a spark of amusement and perhaps carnal appreciation in her eyes. I see you, Anna. I seem to recall the aftermath was very satisfying. I continue shaving, but Anna's gone very quiet. Hey, I'm just teasing. Isn't that what husbands who are hopelessly in love with their wives do? I tip her chin up and scrutinize her expression. Perhaps she's still mad at me. She squares her shoulders.
Uh-oh. Sit,
she orders.
What?
She splays her hands on my naked chest and pushes me gently toward a stool in the bathroom.
Okay, I'll play.
I sit down and she takes my razor. Anna, I warn, but she ignores me and leans down and kisses me.
Head back,
she says against my lips. When I hesitate, she cocks her head to one side.
Tit for tat, Mr. Gray.
And I know she's provoking me. How can I walk away from a challenge when my wife never does? You know what you're doing? I ask. She shakes her head. Well, what's she going to do, Gray? Slit my throat? Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and raise my chin, offering myself to her. She slides her fingers into my hair and grips hard while I scrunch my eyes tighter. She's standing so close to me. I can smell her. See, sunshine, sex, sweetness, Anna. It's heady. With the utmost tenderness, she glides my razor from my neck to my chin, shaving me. I release the breath I was holding.
Did you think I was going to hurt you?
I hear the tremor in her voice. I never know what you're going to do, Anna, but no, not intentionally. Sliding the razor across my skin again, she says quietly,
I would never intentionally hurt you, Christian.
She sounds so sincere. Opening my eyes, I curl my arms around her as she shaves my cheek. I know, I whisper. She hurt me when she left that one time, and I deserved it. I hurt her.
You are one fucked up son of a bitch.
Gray, don't go there. I angle my cheek, making it easier for her to finish the job, and two strokes of the razor later, she's completed her work.
All done, and not a drop of blood spilled.
She beams at me. I run my hands up her leg and ease her onto my lap until she's sitting astride me.
Can I take you somewhere today? No sunbathing?
Anna's tone is disingenuous, but I ignore it. No, no sunbathing today. I thought you might prefer something else.
Well, since you've covered me in hickeys and effectively put the kibosh on that, sure, why not?
Hickeys? We're not in high school.
You never really had an adolescence, emotionally speaking. I think you're experiencing it now.
Hell.
Ignoring Flynn's words and Anna's reference to my bad behavior, I continue. It's a drive, but it's worth a visit, from what I've read. My dad recommended we visit. It's a hilltop village called Saint-Paul-de-Vence. There are some galleries there. I thought we could pick out some paintings or sculptures for the new house if we find anything we like. She presses her lips together and leans back to study me.
What?
I ask, alarmed at her expression.
I know nothing about art, Christian.
I shrug. We'll buy only what we like. This isn't about investment. She looks a little less alarmed, but preoccupied nevertheless.
What?
I ask again.
Look, I know we only got the architect's drawings the other day, but there's no harm in looking, and the town is an ancient medieval place.
Her expression remains the same.
What now?
I ask.
Fuck, Anna, are you still angry about yesterday?
She shakes her head.
Tell me,
I beg, but she gives nothing away.
You're not still mad about what I did yesterday.
I can't look her in the eye. Instead, I bow my head and nuzzle between her breasts.
No, I'm hungry,
she says.
Why didn't you say?
I ease her off my lap. Anna and I fall under Saint Paul Duvance's spell. We wander the narrow, cobbled streets, breathing in the Gallic wonder of it all, followed from a discreet distance by Taylor and Philippe Ferroux. Anna is tucked under my arm where she fits perfectly.
How did you know about this place?
She asks. Dad emailed me when we were in London. He and Mom came here back in the day.
It's beautiful.
Anna waves her hand in homage to our spectacular surroundings. We stop at a small gallery with some striking abstract art in the window and decide to venture in. I'm taken by some erotic photographs that are on display inside. They're beautifully composed.
Not quite what I had in mind,
Anna says, her tone wry. I grin down at her.
Me neither.
My hand finds hers as we study some still-life paintings, all vegetables and fruit. They're good.
I like those.
Anna points to some peppers.
They remind me of you chopping vegetables in my apartment.
She giggles, her eyes alive with mischief and memories. Of our reconciliation, maybe? I thought I managed that quite competently. I was just a bit slow,
And anyway, I embrace her and nuzzle her ear. You were distracting me. Where would you put them? Anna gasps, distracted by my teasing lips.
What?
The paintings. Where would you put them? I graze her earlobe with my teeth.
Kitchen?
She breathes. Nice idea, Mrs. Gray.
They're really expensive.
So? I kiss the spot behind her ear. Get used to it, Anna. I release her and approach the sales assistant to purchase all three of the paintings and give her my credit card and our address in Escala for shipping.
Merci, monsieur.
She simpers with a flirtatious smile. Sweetheart, I'm married. I raise my left hand to stroke my chin, making my ring obvious, then return to Anna, who is looking at the nudes. Changed your mind? I ask. She laughs.
No, they're good, though, and the photographer's female.
I cast my eye over them again. One catches my attention. A woman kneels up on a chair, her back to the camera. She's naked, except for hooker heels, her long dark hair loose. A memory I don't want stirs in the back of my mind, and I'm reminded of the bleak black-and-white photo on my bulletin board. The crack whore. Fuck. I look away and take Anna's hand. Let's go. Are you hungry?
Sure.
She says with an uncertain look as I open the door and step out into the fresh air. I'm grateful to get back outside where I can breathe again. What the hell is wrong with me? Protected from the fierce Mediterranean sun, we sit beneath bright red parasols on an archaic stone terrace at a hotel restaurant. We're surrounded by geraniums and ancient ivied walls. It really is stunning. The food is off the charts, too. Damn, but the French can cook. I hope Mia's learned some of these skills. I'll have to persuade her to make dinner for us someday. When I pay the check, I give the waiter a hefty tip. Anna is sipping coffee, admiring the view. She's been quiet, and I wonder once more what she's thinking about. Yesterday? I shift in my seat. I'm still trying to shake off my nightmare. Fragments keep haunting me, and it's unsettling. I'm reminded of Anna's question yesterday evening about braids. Did it stir something from my subconscious? Communicate and compromise. Flynn's words circle my brain. Maybe I should talk to Anna, tell her the truth. Perhaps that's why I'm getting these vivid flashbacks. I take a deep breath. You asked me why I braid your hair. Anna looks up, expectant.
Yes?
The crack whore used to let me play with her hair, I think. I don't know if it's a memory or a dream. Anna blinks in that way she does when she's processing information, but her eyes are wide and clear, and all I see in them is her compassion.
I like it when you play with my hair,
she says, but her voice wavers, and I think she's just trying to reassure me. Do you?
Yes.
The vehemence in her tone surprises me. She clasps my hand.
I think you loved your birth mother, Christian.
Time stills, and it's like she's knocked all the air out of my lungs. I'm in free fall. Why does she say shit like this? She says she doesn't want to hurt me, and yet... My eyes stay glued to hers because in spite of what she's just said, Anna's my life raft, and I'm drowning in a wave of uncertainty that I don't understand or know how to process. I can't do this. I don't want to think about the past. It's done. It's too painful. My gaze drifts to her hand in mine and to the red mark around her wrist. It's a stark reminder of what I did to her yesterday. I hurt her.
Say something,
she whispers. I need to get out of here. Let's go. In the street, feeling adrift and unsure of myself, I reach for her hand once more. Where do you want to go? I ask. But it's more to distract myself from what's hovering at the edge of my memory. Whatever it is, it's dredging up these unwanted and unsettling feelings. She smiles.
I'm just glad you're still speaking to me.
Only just? You mentioned love and the crack whore in the same sentence. You know I don't like talking about all that shit. It's done. Finished. I'm expecting her to sulk or berate me, but as I watch a kaleidoscope of emotions cross her face, what settles in her gaze is love. Her love. For me. I think. All the wrongs right themselves, and my world spins on its proper axis once more. I fold my arm around her, and she slips her hand into my back pocket, her palm against my ass. It's a possessive gesture, and I live for it. We walk down one of the cobbled streets, stalked by our security, when a fine jeweler's store catches my eye. We pause outside, and I have a sudden urge to buy Anna a piece. Grasping her free hand, I rub my thumb along the red wheel left by the handcuff yesterday.
"It's not sore,"
Anna says, correctly interpreting my look of concern. I shift so Anna has no choice but to take her other hand out of my pocket. Around that wrist, she's wearing my wedding gift to her, which I purchased in the crazy rush to buy our rings from Astoria Fine Jewelry. It's a white gold Omega de Ville with diamonds. I had it inscribed. "Anastasia, you are my Moor, my love, my life, Christian." And that was never truer than now. Yet beneath the strap lies a red mark that I gave her. And all those hickeys, too, because I was pissed at her. Damn. Releasing her, I gently grasp her chin and raise her eyes to mine. She stares back at me, as guileless as ever, and with the same look of love.
"They don't hurt,"
she whispers, and I take her hand again and plant a soft kiss on her wrist. "I'm sorry, Anna." "Come." We head into the shop because there's a Chanel bracelet that's caught my eye in the window. Once inside, I waste no time and purchase it. I know if I ask Anna, she'll politely refuse. It's pretty, white gold with small diamonds, and it'll look lovely on her. "Here." I fasten it around her wrist. It covers the red line.
"There, that's better,"
I mutter.
"Better?"
Her brow creases a little. "You know why."
"I don't need this."
She rotates her wrist and the diamonds on the bracelet sparkle in the sunlight, throwing little rainbows around the store.
"I do," I whisper. "It's an apology. I just don't know how to do this, Anna."
"No, Christian, you don't. You've given me so much already. A magical honeymoon, London, Paris, the Côte d'Azur, and you. I'm a very lucky girl."
"No, Anastasia. I'm a very lucky man."
"Thank you."
She stretches up and puts her arms around my neck and kisses me properly in front of everyone.
"Oh, baby, I love you."
"Come, we should head back." I murmur against her lips. She slips her hand into my back pocket again, and together we make our way back to the car. The Mercedes cruises back to Cannes. Taylor is in the passenger seat up front, and Farou is driving, but we're hampered by the traffic. I stare out of the window, trying to figure out why I'm so agitated. It can't have just been my dream. My argument with Anna yesterday, the fact that I've marked her. I don't understand why this feels so weird. I've marked women before. Not permanently. Fuck no, never. That's not my scene. Two of my submissives hated it, so that was fine, and I didn't do it. And of course, I never marked Elena. That was impossible. She was married. And then there was Susanna. She loved that shit. Whenever she was marked, she liked me to photograph her. Anna grips my hand, distracting me from my thoughts. She's wearing a short skirt that exposes her legs. I look across at her and caress her knee. She has such lovely legs. Her ankles. They're probably marked, too. Shit. Reaching down, I grasp her ankle and gently ease her foot onto my lap. She swivels in her seat and faces me. I want the other one, too. I need to see for myself. She looks toward Taylor and Farou. She's shy? What does she think I'm going to do? I press the privacy screen button and it slowly rises out of the panel in front of us until we're partitioned off from them. I want to look at your ankles. She frowns and places her other foot in my lap. I skim my thumb up her instep and she squirms. She's ticklish. I don't know why I haven't registered this before. I undo the strap on her sandal, and there it is, another mark, darker than those on her wrists.
Doesn't hurt,
she says. I'm an inconsiderate asshole. I massage the line in the hope that it will disappear and look back out of the window at the passing countryside. She wriggles her foot, and her sandal falls into the footwell, but I ignore it.
Hey, what did you expect?
She asks. She's gazing at me as if I've beamed down from Mars. I shrug. I didn't expect to feel like I do looking at these marks.
How do you feel?
Shitty. Uncomfortable, I mutter. And I don't really know why. Suddenly she unbuckles her seatbelt and scoots closer to me and grabs both of my hands.
It's the hickeys I don't like,
she hisses.
Everything else, what you did.
Her voice drops lower.
With the handcuffs, I enjoyed that. Well, more than enjoyed, it was mind-blowing. You can do that to me again anytime.
Oh. Mind-blowing? Her words are a small boost to my mood and my libido.
Yes.
She grins and curls her toes around my more-than-interested dick. You should really be wearing your seatbelt, Mrs. Gray. She teases me with her toes once more. I glance at the glass. Could we? But my lascivious thoughts are interrupted by my phone vibrating. Shit. I remove it from my shirt pocket. It's work. I check my watch. It's early in Seattle. Barney, I answer, while Anna tries to withdraw her feet from the close proximity of my dick. I tighten my hold on her feet.
Mr. Gray, there's been a fire in the server room.
What? In the server room? How the hell did that happen?
Yes, sir.
The servers? Fuck.
Did it activate the fire suppression system?
Anna removes her feet from my lap, and this time I let her.
Yes, sir, it did.
I hit the button to lower the privacy glass so Taylor can hear me. Anyone injured?
No, sir,
Barney responds. Damage?
Very little from what I've been told.
I see. Security were quick to call. When? I glance at my watch again.
Just now. The fire's out, but they want to know if we should call the fire department.
No, not the fire department or the police. Not yet, anyway. I need to think.
Welch has just called me on the other line,
Barney says. Has he?
He's probably trying to get a hold of you. I'll text him.
Good.
I'm heading to Gray House now.
Okay, I want a detailed damage report and a complete rundown of everyone who had access over the last 5 days, including the cleaning staff.
Yes, sir. Get a hold of Andrea and get her to call me.
Will do. It was a good move to change from the outdated suppression system, Barney says as he blows out a breath. Yeah, sounds like the Argon is just as effective, worth its weight in gold.
Yes, sir.
I realize it's early. I was awake. There'll be no traffic now, Barney continues. I'll be there in no time, and I'll see what's up. Email me in 2 hours.
I hope you don't mind that I called.
No, I need to know. Thank you for calling me. I hang up and call Welch, who is heading to Gray House as we speak. During a brief exchange, we agree to increase security at the off-site data center as a precaution, and that we'll talk in an hour. When I end my call with him, I direct Philippe to get us back on board as soon as possible.
Monsieur?
Farou speeds up. I wonder what could have gone wrong in the server room. An electrical fault? Something overheated? Arson? Anna looks wary.
Anyone hurt?
She asks. I shake my head. Very little damage. Though I haven't had a damage report, I want to reassure her. Reaching over, I take her hand and give it a comforting squeeze. Don't worry about this. My team is on it.
Where was the fire?
Server room.
Gray House?
Yes.
Why so little damage?
The server room is fitted with a state-of-the-art fire suppression system. Anna, please don't worry.
I'm not worried.
She whispers, but I'm not convinced. We don't know for sure that it was arson. And that's my biggest fear. I'm in the small study aboard Fair Lady. Welch and Barney are at GEH, and Andrea is making her way into the office early. Now that Welch has inspected the damage, he's advised that we get the fire department in, so an expert can establish what started the fire. He doesn't want a stream of people in the server room contaminating any evidence. We run through a list of protocols, and as I feared, he's not ruling out arson. He's compiling lists of everyone who has had access to the server room in advance of the fire department's report. Andrea calls when she arrives at the office, and I pace the floor as I talk her through what's happened. I'm leaning against the desk when there's a knock on the door. It's my wife. Andrea, hold please. Anna's expression is one of determination. It's a look I know well, the one she wears when we're going to fight. My shoulders tense in preparation for a showdown.
I'm going shopping. I'll take security with me.
She says with a too bright smile. Is that it? Sure. Take one of the twins and Taylor, too, I reply. She doesn't leave. Anything else?
Can I get you anything?
No, baby, I'm good. The crew will look after me.
Okay.
She hesitates, then strides toward me, places her hands on my chest, and gives me a quick peck on my lips. Andrea, I'll call you back.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Andrea says, and I'm sure she's smiling on the other end of the phone. Hanging up, I place my phone on the desk, pull Anna into my arms, and kiss her, properly. Her mouth is sweet and wet and warm, and a welcome diversion. She's breathless when I stop. You're distracting me, I whisper, staring down into dazed eyes. I need to sort this out so I can get back to my honeymoon. I run my finger down her cheek and clasp her chin.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Please don't apologize, Mrs. Gray. I love your distractions. I kiss the corner of her mouth. Go spend some money. I step back, letting her go.
Will do.
With a girlish smile, she sashays to the door and is gone, though there's something about her demeanor that makes me pause. What isn't she telling me? Dismissing the thought, I call Andrea back.
Mr. Gray, while I have you on the phone, Roz mentioned that you might go to New York next week. If so, I wanted to remind you that the Telecommunications Alliance Organization fundraiser is on Thursday in Manhattan. They really want you there.
That trip's not definite, but let them know that I'm considering their invitation, and if I accept it, it will be for two. We might want to think about any other meetings I could do in New York while I'm there.
Yes, sir.
I think that's all for now. Can you put me through to Roz?
Will do.
I update Roz and ask her to liaise with Barney and Welch. From somewhere close to the yacht, the sound of a jet ski starting up sidetracks me. It stalls. It starts and stalls again. I peer through the windows on the starboard side, and Anna is on one of the jet skis, fully clothed. I thought she was going shopping. Roz, I'll call you back. I hang up and scramble out of the study to the starboard walkway, but she's gone. I dash around to the port side, and Anna's tearing across the water on the jet ski with the tender in hot pursuit. She waves at me.
No, Anna! Don't let go.
My heart leaps into my mouth. Hesitantly, I raise my hand and wave back. This was her plan? I watch as she races toward the marina with the tender in her wake. I pull out my phone and call Taylor.
Sir?
What the hell are you and Anastasia playing at? I shout.
Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray wanted to try the jet ski.
But she could fall, drown, fuck! Words fail me.
She's quite competent on it, sir.
For fuck's sake, don't let her come back on it!
I hear Taylor sigh, but I don't give a fuck.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I press end call.
In the salon, I find the binoculars and watch as Anna pulls up beside the tender. Taylor helps her in, then onto the dock. I call her number and watch as she fumbles in her purse for her phone.
Hi,
she answers a little breathlessly.
Hi.
I'll come back on the boat. Don't be mad.
Oh, I'm expecting a fight.
It was fun, though,
she whispers, sounding exhilarated, and I see her once more in my head, flying past the boat, the wind in her hair and a huge smile on her face. I sigh. Well, far be it for me to curtail your fun, Mrs. Gray. Just be careful, please.
I will. Anything you want from town?
Just you, back in one piece.
I'll do my best to comply, Mr. Gray.
I'm glad to hear it, Mrs. Gray.
We aim to please.
She giggles, and the sweet sound makes me smile. My phone beeps. I have another call. Laters, baby.
Laters, Christian.
I hang up, and Grace is on the line.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good, Mom.
I'm just calling to check that you're all okay.
Why wouldn't I be okay?
Shit, maybe she knows. Are you calling about the fire?
What fire?
She asks, suddenly terse. It's nothing, Mother.
What fire, Christian?
Her tone is intimidating. Sighing, I quickly fill her in on what's happened at Gray House, sparing no details.
Mom, it's no big deal. No damage.
The last thing I want to do is worry Grace.
Will you come home?
I don't see any reason to cut my honeymoon short. The fire was contained and hasn't done any damage. She's quiet for a moment.
Grace, it's okay.
She sighs.
If you say so, darling. How is your honeymoon going?
Well, up until this incident, it's been wonderful. Anna loves London and Paris, and the yacht, she's Yar.
Sounds heavenly. Did you go to Saint-Paul-de-Vence?
We did. Today. It was magical.
I fell in love with the place. I won't keep you. I know you'll have a lot to think about and do. The reason I called was to invite you and Anna to lunch on Sunday when you're home.
Sure, that sounds great.
Lovely. See you then. And Christian, remember, we love you.
Yes, Mom. Thanks for the call. When I hang up, there's an email from Anna.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 17th, 2011, 1655. Thank you. For not being too grouchy. Your loving wife. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
I type back. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 17th, 2011, 1659. Trying to stay calm. You're welcome. Come back in one piece. This is not a request. Kiss, Christian Gray, CEO and overprotective husband. A couple of hours later, I'm sitting at the small desk in the study, and I get the call I've been dreading.
It's arson,
Welch says.
Fuck.
My heart sinks. Who the hell is doing this to me? What do they want?
Exactly. A small incendiary device was placed beside one of the server cabinets. Interestingly, it was designed to set off smoke, but that's it. I think it's a warning.
A warning? Any idea when it was placed? I ask.
We don't have that information yet. We've already doubled security. I'll post a guard 24/7 outside the server room. I know it's the lifeblood of the company.
Good idea.
Will you come back early?
Do I need to? I don't want to end our honeymoon.
No, I don't think so. I think the biggest question for me right now is if this is linked to your EC-135.
Let's assume it is. That's the worst-case scenario.
Yes, I think that's prudent,
Welch responds. There's nothing I can achieve there that I can't do here. Besides, I think we're safer on the boat.
There's that.
He agrees, then pauses.
I know all our leads for a potential suspect have led to nothing, but we'll double-check all the footage in and around Gray House. We will find this person.
Do. Nail the prick.
The police forensics team are in the server room right now, dusting for prints.
I bet Barney's thrilled about that. Welch's laugh is wry.
He's not.
God damn it, this is frustrating. I mutter into the phone.
I know, Christian. The EC-135 was dusted for prints by the FBI a few weeks ago. We're still waiting to see if that yields a suspect. Eurocopter had the helicopter now. They're assessing the damage to see if it can be repaired.
Okay.
I'll call if there's an update.
Thank you. I hang up and stare at the coastline, where the city lights of Cannes are beginning to wake and welcome the dusk. What the hell am I going to do? What have I done to deserve this? Gray, don't go there. The tender is being craned onto the bridge deck, which means Anna must have returned. Anna, my girl. She might get caught in this crossfire. I put my head in my hands in an attempt to drive the image of Anna lying unmoving on the floor from my psyche. If anything happened to her, the thought is torture. I need to see that she's back in one piece, now. Quelling my morbid thoughts, I go in search of her. Stopping outside the master cabin door, I take a deep breath to calm my anxiety and step inside. Anna is sitting on the bed with a parcel beside her. You were gone some time. Startled, she looks up and eyes me warily.
Everything in control at your office?
More or less. I don't tell her more. I don't want to worry her.
I did a little shopping,
she says with a sweet smile. What did you buy?
This.
She places her foot on the bed, and around her ankle there's a silver ankle chain. Very nice. I run my fingers over the little bells that hang from the chain. They have a sweet, delicate chime, but the chain doesn't hide the faint red line from the cuff yesterday. The mark I left on her.
Hell. And this.
She holds out a wrapped gift box, a little too eagerly, to distract me, I think. Of course she's bought me something, and my mood switches to curious delight.
For me?
The package is surprisingly heavy. Sitting down beside her, I give it a quick shake. Grinning, I clasp her chin and kiss her.
Thank you.
You haven't opened it yet.
I'll love it, whatever it is. I don't get many presents.
It's hard to buy you things. You have everything.
I have you.
You do?
She smiles. I unwrap the paper to find a digital SLR camera. A Nikon?
I know you have your compact digital camera, but this is for portraits and the like. It comes with two lenses.
Portraits? Where is she going with this? My anxiety returns in full force, prickling my scalp.
Today in the gallery, you liked the Florence Dell photographs, and I remember what you said in the Louvre. And of course, there were those other photographs.
Her voice drops. Oh, good God, I don't want to talk about them.
I thought you might, like to take pictures of me.
Pictures? Of you? She nods, blinking, her uncertainty obvious, and I examine the box, playing for time. It's a state-of-the-art camera, a thoughtful gift from my thoughtful wife, but it makes me uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. Why does she think I want to photograph her naked? That isn't my life anymore. I look up at her. Why do you think I want this? I whisper. A frisson of alarm crosses her face.
Don't you?
She asks. No, Anna, you've got this all wrong. Suddenly I see it clearly. My old life and my new one careening together like a car crash and inflicting untold damage. Those photographs were fundamentally to protect me, to protect my position and my family. I have to make her understand that I don't need this from her, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. Try the truth, Gray. Communicate. For me, photos like those have usually been an insurance policy, Anna. And for your pleasure, Gray. Yes, it felt intimate. But deep down I knew I was safe viewing my subject through a lens. I was always at a remove, The camera put a wall between me and my sub, even though it was a thrill to capture them in the most intimate poses. Fuck. Shame washes over me, and I'm in the confessional, spilling my darkest secrets. I know I've objectified women for so long. Anna tucks her hair behind her ear and looks as confounded as I feel.
And you think taking pictures of me is objectifying me?
She whispers. I close my eyes. What is happening here? Why wouldn't I do this with her?
I'm so confused,
I murmur.
Why do you say that?
She asks gently. Opening my eyes, I look down at her wrist, which still bears the marks that I left on her. I'm trying to protect her from my old life, and this is what I do? How can I keep her safe when I can't even keep her safe from me?
Christian, these don't matter.
She holds up her hand so the welt is on show.
You gave me a safe word. Shit, yesterday was fun. I enjoyed it. Stop brooding about it. I like rough sex. I've told you that before.
She sounds panicked.
Is this about the fire? Do you think it's connected somehow to Charlie Tango? Is this why you're worried? Talk to me, Christian, please.
Don't frighten her further, Gray. She frowns.
Don't overthink this, Christian.
She reaches for the box, opens it, and removes the camera. Switching it on, she takes the lens cap off and raises the Nikon to her face, pointing it at me. I loathe having my photograph taken. The last time I did it willingly was at the wedding, and before that it was for her, not so long ago, at the Heathman. That was before my life changed irrevocably, before I knew her. She presses the button and holds it, taking a burst of photographs.
I'll objectify you, then,
she mutters. And once more I know she's laughing at me and not putting up with my bullshit. She edges closer, still looking at me through the lens. 1, 2, 3. She takes several photos. She pokes her tongue between her teeth as she snaps each one, but I know she's unaware that she's doing it, and I'm beguiled. She smiles and captures my answering smile. Only you, Anna. Only you can drag me back into the light. I pose for her, pursing my lips in an exaggerated fashion. Her grin broadens and she giggles, and it's such a wonderful sound. I thought it was my present, I grumble.
Well, it was supposed to be fun, but apparently it's a symbol of women's oppression.
She takes more photographs.
She's laughing at me. Game on, Anna.
You want to be oppressed? A delightful vision of her kneeling in front of me, hands tied while she services my cock, forms in my mind.
Not oppressed, no,
she whispers, continuing to take photographs. I could oppress you big time, Mrs. Gray.
I know you can, Mr. Gray, and you do, frequently.
Oh, fuck. She's serious. She lowers the camera and stares at me.
What's wrong, Christian?
I just want to keep you safe. She frowns and lifts the camera to her eye once more.
Tell me,
she insists. Get a grip, Gray. I tamp down my feelings. I can't deal with them right now.
Nothing,
I answer, and drop out of her line of sight, remove the camera box from the bed, and grab Anna, dragging her down onto the comforter and sitting astride her.
Hey!
She protests, and takes more photographs of me, smiling down at her until I take the camera from her and frame her beautiful face in the viewfinder. I press the shutter and capture her loveliness for posterity.
So you want me to take pictures of you, Mrs. Gray?
She looks so earnest through the lens. Well, for a start, I think you should be laughing. Reaching down, I start to tickle her with my free hand. She squeals and struggles beneath me, and I take picture after picture. This is fun. She laughs and laughs.
No, stop!
Are you kidding? I've never tickled anyone, and hers is a particularly gratifying reaction. I put the camera down and use both hands.
Christian!
She squeals and thrashes around beneath me.
Christian, stop!
She pleads, and I take pity on her. Grabbing both her hands, I hold them down on either side of her head. She's winded, flushed, her eyes dark, her hair a mess. She's stunning. She takes my breath away. You are so beautiful, I whisper. I don't deserve her. Leaning down, I close my eyes and kiss her. Her lips are soft, her mouth welcoming. I cradle her head in my hands, my fingers weaving into her hair, and I deepen our kiss, wanting more, wanting to lose myself in her. She responds, her body rising, her hands traveling up my arms and grasping my biceps. Her response is a torch to my arousal. No, it's more than that. I want her, yes, but I need her more. My body stands at attention, hungering for her. She's my life raft, while I'm adrift, trying to make sense of what's happening to me. When I'm with her, in her, all is right with the world. Oh, what you do to me. I groan, yearning for her. I shift quickly so I'm lying on top of her, feeling her body along the length of mine. My hand skates down to her breast, her waist, her hip, and her behind, squeezing as I go. I kiss her again, pushing my knee between her legs, running my hand down her thigh, and hitching her leg over my hip. I grind against her, wanting her. Her fingers are in my hair, and she tugs and holds me to her mouth while I take all I want. I think I am going to combust. I want her so badly. Fuck. Abruptly, I stop. I need her. Now. Standing, I pull her off the bed and undo her shorts. Kneeling down, I drag them and her panties off, then we're back on the bed with her beneath me. My fingers make light work of my fly and free my impatient dick. With one move, I'm inside her. Hard. Deep. Yes! I hiss as she cries out. I still and examine her face. Her eyes are closed, her head tipped back, and her mouth open. I swivel my hips and drive myself deeper. She groans and wraps her arms around me. I need you. I growl and graze my teeth along her jaw, and then I'm kissing her again, taking her mouth and all she has to give while she binds herself to me, wrapping her legs and arms around me. I'm unleashed, my need for her greater than I ever imagined. I want to crawl inside her skin so she can keep me in one piece, keep me whole. She meets me stroke for stroke, encouraging me with her soft cries of need, her passion loud and hot in my ear. I feel her. She's close, so close, reaching with me. As I drive her higher, as she drives me higher, come with me, I rasp and rear up over her. Open your eyes. I need to see you. She peers up at me, eyes dazed with longing, and she lets go, tipping her head back and screaming her orgasm for all to hear. It pushes me over the edge and I climax, driving myself into her and calling out her name. I collapse to the side, bringing her with me, and turn us both so that she's sprawled on top of me. I drag precious air into my lungs while still inside her, holding her tightly. My beacon, my dream catcher, my love, my life. Someone wants to kill us. Damn them. She kisses my chest, soft, sweet kisses.
Tell me, Christian, what's wrong?
I tighten my hold on her and close my eyes. I don't want to lose you.
I give you my solemn vow,
she whispers.
To be your faithful partner in sickness and in health, to stand by your side in good times and in bad, to share your joy as well as your sorrow.
I still. She's reciting her vows. I open my eyes. Her face is a picture of sincerity, and her love light shines so bright from her beautiful face.
I promise to love you unconditionally, to support you in your goals and dreams, to honor and respect you, to laugh with you and cry with you, to share my hopes and dreams with you and bring you solace in times of need, and to cherish you for as long as we both shall live.
She sighs, gazing at me and willing me to speak. Oh, Anna, I murmur and move, easing out of her so that we're lying side by side, lost in each other's eyes. I stroke her face with my knuckles and thumb. From memory, I recite my vows, my voice hoarse as I try to contain my emotion. I solemnly vow that I will safeguard and hold dear and deep in my heart our union and you. I promise to love you faithfully, forsaking all others, through the good times and the bad, in sickness and in health, regardless of where life takes us. I will protect you, trust you, and respect you. I will share your joys and sorrows and comfort you in times of need. I promise to cherish you and uphold your hopes and dreams and keep you safe at my side. All that is mine is now yours. I give you my hand, my heart, and my love from this moment on for as long as we